When you first encounter semiconductors like silicon or germanium, there's a lot of terms to encounter, and then terms on top of terms, and it's a bit of a mind-blowing thing to try and remember it. So in this podcast, I'm going to not discuss too much the actual physics of what's going on and why things are, but give you a guide to an easy way to remember what's going on in semiconductors, and it will help you answer exam questions, multiple choices, like a breeze. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. In this one, it's just more an easy way to remember things. So in let's go through semiconductors. So classically at school, semiconductors are anything in group 4 on the periodic table. So it's carbon, silicon, germanium, going down that strip of the periodic table. And the semiconductors classically form a crystal structure with 4 bonds for each atom. And classically they form a diamond crystal structure, a tetrahedral crystal structure. So 3 bonds on a triangle at the base, and they go to 3 atoms, and a bond coming vertically up from the atom connecting to another atom. So there are 4 bonds, 4 atoms, and everything's hunky-dory. Now we're just going to go through the actual geometry of things, and what will happen is in future podcasts I'll give you a detailed quantum mechanical explanation, but the aim of this podcast is to, without tripping in the area of mistakes, so there are a lot of conceptual mistakes in the way that semiconductors are taught, and I'm not going to even cover that area. I'm just going to cover this one, a convenient way of remembering what's going on. So the major thing with a semiconductor is that there's a band of energy levels. So you have the atom, the crystal structure, and for every, with billions of electrons, and each electron will sit in that crystal structure at a different energy level. So an energy level is a line of energy, energy value, and the energy values for the material will go through a range. So there'll be, for instance, just off the, so you can conceptualize it, there'll be, and these are arbitrary units, there'll be an energy level at 1,000, another energy level at 1,001, going way up to 1,100. So this is my way of explaining, drawing that in your mind, of these energy levels going from 1,000 to 1,000 and 1,100. 100 energy levels. In reality, there are billions of atoms and billions of energy levels. So there's one energy level for each atom. So 2 atoms will have its energy. Well, one atom will have one energy level. A molecule of 2 atoms, that energy level will be split into 2. So we're just going to say take a chunk of silicon, 1,000 atoms across, and the energy level that we're considering, which is an electron high up, will have 1,000 energy levels. Now, quantum mechanically, we'll discuss more about this, and the law of quantum mechanics says that those energy levels are filled from the bottom. Say in this case 1,000, 1,001, 1,000, and continues all the way up. Now, say if I have 100 energy levels and only 50 electrons, energy levels will have an electron in them from 1,000, 1,001, all the way up to, say, 1,048. But then, due to temperature effects, some of the electrons at higher temperature, at the very surface of that, will have a little bit of extra energy, and you may have one at, say, 50 1 and another 1 going up to 52. Those energy levels that you can actually promote them. So those electrons will intend to settle down at the bottom of the energy levels, pretty much like beads in a bag. They'll settle to the bottom of the bag. Again, we're going to have to introduce a bit of quantum mechanics to understand what's going on here. And in this case, we're only putting one electron in each energy level, and we'll have to maneuver around that. And there is a reasoning that an electron can move to a higher energy level if there is a vacancy. So a electron at the level of 1,000 may be knocked such that it would want to go up to, say, 1,005, but 1,005 is occupied, so it can't actually do that. So anything beneath of that first 50 are well stacked. Once you go to 40 now, at 1,049 down, they're well stacked. So they're resistant to thermal excitation. But if you rattle it, you can actually put energy, electrons in the energy level above. So far what I've painted for you is a semiconductor. I've told you that we're only going to consider things in group 4, which is carbon, silicon, germanium, and I'm just focusing you down on the bare understanding that you need to go through to understand school stuff. So this is, if you're listening to this, this will give you the first understanding of semiconductors, and you can expand from that as you understand. And semiconductors typically have, in this case, half the number of electrons necessary to fill completely a band. So if there was 100 electrons available in this instance, it would fill all the entire band from 1,000 to 1,100, or there's probably one inside it there. That's electrons in an energy level. Now, we're going to introduce the first term, but you're going to mention it, and then you have to almost forget it. The fact that two electrons can't occupy the same energy state. I'm going to be very careful here. That's called the Pauli exclusion principle, and that's not something that you can understand in classical mechanics. You can build a model for it, but it's not something that you can actually understand. So in this case, we're going to limit one electron per energy level. There's going to be a different rule for it, but for mentioning this, there's only going to be one. And we can't put more than one in each, so it fills up the energy levels, much like liquid filling up a jug or glass. And there's this important thing: if you fill up a glass half of water, a glass half full, so semiconductors are an energy level half full or half empty, depending how you see it. But in a glass of water, one of the things that you see is that at a certain level there's water, and above a certain level there's air, and there's a surface there where it goes from air unoccupied to occupied, from air to water. And that's the surface of your water. We have a term in semiconductors, and we call that surface a Fermi level. Now, one of the things is that the energy levels are drawn that you see in your book or in papers are drawn in a different space from the space of the simple model you have of a water full of a glass full of water. And that's something that you'll have to discuss and face and walk and talk through in future podcasts. But for the moment, we've got a simple model of electrons being physical little beads, and they will occupy these energy levels from 1,000 to 1,050. And the physical model, and there's limitation to that, but this is the model that we have to basically get you from nowhere to the first level of understanding. There are higher levels of understanding, and what I'm going to do in this podcast is start to build up some information for you. So far we've built up that silicon, particularly, we'll just stick with silicon, because I have, say, 100 atoms together, those will have 100 energy levels. Okay, I feel almost sickened saying there's 100 energy levels there, and those energy levels will be at a height from zero energy. We'll have an arbitrary zero energy, and they will occupy a band of energy levels. And a band of energy levels means that there, if you focus it up, there's a series, a rung ladder. If you bring up your focus, what looks like a band, grey colour, is in fact very fine lines, and those energy levels can be occupied. And particularly with silicon or the group 4, which brings precisely half the outer orbital, has four of the requisite 8 to fill the outer orbital. This means that the band is exactly half full. So the terms we have now is crystal structure, silicon group 4, and an energy band. Now, the next thing I have to explain to you is only got an explanation in quantum mechanics. There's no other credible explanation out there. And that is that band will split. The quantum mechanical reason for it is that energy levels around 1050, that area will hit a resonant frequency. That energy level will not be allowed. That is, an electron at that precise energy will, as it travels through the lattice, and again, I'm just biting my tongue as I say this, as that electron interacts with the lattice, that electron will pulsate. And this is close to it. It will have a wave function, and that wave will hit the exact wave of the crystal lattice, which is the spacing of atoms there. So an atom of silicon has a positive core, positive nucleus, and if the electron wave is the crest or again, this electron is a wave. It's very hard to say it's a particle, but let's say if the particle slows up. I'm just ripping my teeth out as I'm saying it. If it slows up consistently around the nucleus, it'll be closer to positive charge, and that energy level will drop. It'll be energy more favourable. But as it speeds up, its frequency will be just wrong. It'll be mistuned, and it will tend to miss the nucleus every time. It tends more space away from the nucleus, and energy level slightly higher will be pushed up. They will be more, less energetically favourable. So I've got a band initially when I don't think about the crystal energy, the effect of the regular array of nuclei. This effect will affect only energy levels of the right energy, because of the right energy, it corresponds to electrons moving in a particular way or a particular shape of electrons, and this will cause the energy levels to bunch. So the energy level at 50, at 1050, will be still the 50th energy level, but it will start to move bunched down ever so small. The energy level at 1050 will actually be pushed down, say, to 1045, and at 1044.9 will be the 49th energy level. So the energy levels, this is like if you've got the old Venetian blinds, they're all equal, but you can actually pull them apart to see through. You can actually stack them. So if, say, you get some spaghetti out to represent your energy levels and you place them at a uniform spacing, you can create a gap in the center of these energy levels by pushing some energy levels down and other energy levels up. In this case, I've got the energy levels at precisely halfway. And so we now have a situation called a band is now split into two levels. So your energy band is split. And that's split. The easiest place is a place where there is no energies for which there are no levels. And that's called the band gap. And now we're just going to have to sit back and listen to some of the terms that we use to describe the situation. So this is our picture, and the way the pictures are developed at school don't actually correspond to any physical or any mechanical reality which explains the picture. In fact, the picture is mislabeled in several senses. But we're not going to go through here. The aim of this podcast is just to give you the skill to apply the correct terms. The correct terms so far is silicon, semiconductor, band of energies, and a band gap. And the band gap creates the a group of bands beneath the band gap. That's from 0 to 50 bands. And it's that energy levels are there from 1,000 to, in this case, 1,045. Then there's a gap of 10 units between 1,045, 1,055, and then it continues up to 1,100. I'm just giving you those numbers so I can paint a diagram in your head with numbers. And so we've now got a band, it's got a band gap, and we now have to refer to parts of the band. The occupied levels, which has that thing which we refer to as the Fermi surface, is the bottom part, and we're going to call this the valence band, and the band above it is called the conduction band. Now, again, the actual physical explanation given at school is incorrect, but electrons which promoted to the top level, the conduction band, are able to actually move inside the metal. We'll have an explanation in front of that. That's what's called the conduction band. So thermally before, you know, I had you the picture before of electrons moving a bit above that Fermi surface. With that band gap, the electrons can actually get across that surface. And so if you heat up a semiconductor, you can make it more conducting by electrons promoting across the band gap. So these are all important information that you are expected to know. I know from HSC examining that you are expected to know all these features. This is bands, band gaps, and electrons being promoted thermally from the valence band to the conduction band and conducting. So semiconductors are not good conductors, except when you heat them up or you dope them. So we now talk about the term doping. So I can replace silicon with a group 3 compound, a group 3 atom, and then there'll be insufficient electrons, so there'll be a few unoccupied orbitals, unoccupied energy levels, and so if I have group 3, I'll fill up from the first, say, 48 levels, and there'll be no electrons on the 50th, so there'll be unoccupied levels there. Also, I can put something in from group 5, and so this will have an additional electron, and this will have an electron which will be in 51, and that will be an electron sitting in the conduction band. So let's go through it again. We have now the conduction band, band gap, and valence band. And we have electrons in each, and we have group 3 and group 5 as doping impurities that we put in. And so that that process of called putting in impurities, this is a term to remember, that's an extrinsic semiconductor. And that's where we have doped it. It becomes extrinsic. So doping is putting in putting in impurities, which break the symmetry. It makes it not quite overall. It makes it overall. It's not fully group 4. It's a little bit under group 4 or a little bit over group 4. And it means electrons are above or below this energy band. And an intrinsic semiconductor is one with no doping whatsoever. So now we come to the promised part, is where I tell you about the word association, which allows you a key, so to speak, something that you can see when you read a question, you say these words, allows you to almost answer the question without thinking. So you may say, well, why did I do that in the first place? What I'm doing here is that if I was in a classroom, I would draw a picture for you. In this case, I'm drawing a mental picture for you to listen to. Say, if you're on the train home or going to sleep, you might just want to listen to this to go through. You've got the mental picture in here. So that's the first mental picture. Now I'm in the transition of telling you that I'm about to talk about the wordplay, which allows you to go through this and understand and answer these questions easily. Now, I'm at the transition. I want to warn you at this stage that this transition is basically a learning trick, and the actual understanding that I want to get to is perhaps deeper. And the future podcasts you may not want to listen to if you're a student, but if you're a teacher or a physicist, you'll say, yeah, that's the best way of explaining it. Indeed, we've gone up the wrong path explaining it to these kids. We've used physical models a bit too much, and we've missed the actual essence of what's going on. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you this two words, dex, pave. That is deck. You can well imagine a deck outside on a ship or outside a house, the deck, and pave. I'm going to pave it. That's a term, and you say, oh, what does that mean? I'm going to go over the word deck, which is the first one, which goes for the top band. And deck is spelled DECS, but the S is actually a 5. So it's dex, pave, dex. D is for donor. That that electron at that energy level is a... I'm putting an extra energy level in my semiconductor. I'm doping it, and I'm doping it with donors. And the donors donate electrons, E, so it's DE, and the electrons go into the conduction band, C for conduction. Donor, electron, conduction. And then the S is a 5, is group 5. So I'll say that one again. Donor, electron, conduction, group 5. And so this means that if I get some silicon, and the silicon's got a band gap, I add group 5 So what I do is I actually add an extra donor level, and in that level I have an electron, and that thermally excites into the conduction band. So that's DEC. I have the band gap, and then PAVE, P-A-V-E. The E is, in actual fact, a 3. Okay, so it's a way of going it. Now, positive acceptor levels in the valence band in group 3. So if I dope a semiconductor with some group 3 compounds, say phosphorus, for instance, I put some phosphorus in it, what will happen there is that that will create an acceptor level in the band gap. That acceptor level will then accept an electron, creating a positive hole in the valence band, and it's group 3. So there you have it, a very easy way, a aid memoir called DEX-PAVE. And once you have that, it allows you to quickly go in and pretty well answer every multiple choice question and basically every low-level high school physics question based on a very poor explanation of semiconductors. And future podcasts on this, I'll get into a much deeper explanation. In fact, I've got what is a classic YouTube on it. So let me just repeat what we've gone through at the moment. And this is really what you should be doing mentally to learn, but I'm just doing this in podcast format. So semiconductors, as far as we are concerned, are made of pure elements from group 4. Carbon has a huge band gap, silicon a moderate, germanium a smaller band gap, and silicon, which is harder to purify, has a usable band gap. Germanium is easy to purify, but its band gap is so small it's not very useful for electronics. Now, there's a lot more that we're going to describe. So I've got a band, which is a series of energy levels, lines that we draw, and we have a band gap, which grows due to a crystal interaction. So the actual orientation of the crystals actually push particular energy levels up and down, so I have a band gap. And then that band gap has a structure of a conduction layer at the top, band gap and valence layer. The valence layer valence band is full of electrons, and the surface, the highest level of electrons, is called the Fermi surface. And this is based on the analogy of a liquid filling up a cup. There's a surface there, and only electrons at that surface have spaces available for them to move up. So this is thermal excitation. We then have two cases that we look at. This is the intrinsic semiconductor, and so the band gap is full. It's nothing, no changes, no holes or electrons additional, and that's called an intrinsic semiconductor. And that requires thermal energy to remove an electron from the valence band and put it up to the conduction band, creating an electron hole pair. Then we can actually create an asymmetry by doping or building the silicon with an impurity, which we can either, we in general, introduce it and use a thermal method such that the atoms gradually migrate, bonds break and reform at high temperature to allow the phosphorus or, to actually form as a group 5 or group 3 pushed in there. Then we have the take-home message here, and that is DEX-PAVE. that is donor electrons in the top valence band, and that's group 5, Dex. And you know how to draw that, and that's the first word, and that goes up the top. Then you've got the band gap, and beneath the band gap, you've got PAVE, positive hole, acceptor level. So an extra level is put in because there's an extra electron. It means an extra level. It's put in just above the valence band, PAV, and then the E is turned around to be a 3, so that's Dex PAVE. So look, this is not for me as a scientist a very inspiring thing to tell you, but as a teacher, this gives you a simple scaffold, as it's called, to remember. An aide memoire allows you to answer a question, and it behoves us as teachers to ask more difficult questions to actually test your deep understanding. So please look at this. There are many misconceptions written out in full authority in textbooks and in the syllabus as well, and dare I say in the examination centre. As you're going through these people, you sit with a table of 10 or more people, all marking the same, all thoroughly convinced that our electrons are little spheres, and we have a series of models which make a point, but as we get into it, are misleading. The issue here is that being able to reproduce that misleading model for the moment is what's necessary to get the marks. So perhaps if your students don't listen to the actual real story of semiconductors and the full quantum mechanics of it, which I'll discuss in future podcasts. So thanks for listening. Please keep on studying, and in the meantime, keep on doing science.